At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are back with Sir Croakington, and we're going to be continuing Proving Grounds. Proving Grounds 6, The Elder Throne. But firstly, I noticed I have some Ardivarian artifacts, so I'm going to identify them using the skill of Arcania. Wood Icon of Enhanced Mind and Wood Icon of Legendary Agility. Are these things I already have? Yes, I already have them, so I have read, no, I have two of them now, sort of read the description at some previous point. So if you've listened to every single one of the prior Sir Croakington episodes, you'd have already heard it. So I'm not going to read it again. Want to find out what it says? You can find out on the wiki. And also, 32 experience to Arcania, which I guess adds up a little bit over time. Anyway, back to the Proving Grounds. We're in the chasm of time. I've spoiled it. Okay, if you don't want spoilers, stop now. I pretty much can't say anything without there being spoilers. So here we go. Chasm of Time, Part 3. Part 4. In Part 3, we met Jarl Uriel, who is someone you do not mess with, who was being pursued by a guy who had apparently just found one of those bags of infinite wolves that people just have, apparently, and was after Uriel for some alleged theft. Or it might have been theft, or it might have just been reclaiming what was hers, or maybe it was hers all along, and he's just saying it's theft, or maybe he's crazy. Could be crazy. We don't know, and quite frankly, we don't care, because he's doing the old murder things. And really, when there's murder around, a little bit of theft isn't really something we should be focused on right now. Because, I mean, we're not terrible police, are we? Chasm of Time, Part 4. Begin the scenario. At the conclusion of the previous part, a low moan snaps your head in the direction of the black-bearded man, still lying on the foot of the boulder, at the foot of the boulder into which he was flung. He rises to his elbows and makes several failed attempts to regain his feet, before collapsing back onto the frozen ground. Moving across the ravine, stepping across the bloated remains of the slain wolves, her eyes fixed on the hopeless man, is Uriel. You suddenly realise that the young spellcaster, trembling with fear, surrounded by the grim reminders of death, intends to avenge her brother. And now, as Uriel steps back towards the black-bearded man, he tries again to get up, but he collapses onto the snowy ground with a painful gasp. The young, trembling spellcaster raises her white hand. You realise that unless you act immediately, Uriel will undoubtedly kill the man who now lies at her mercy. I could Basically, the options divide into two. Stop her or don't. I mean, the fact is, this guy is a murderer. And I think we're in the sort of place where we wear regular justice is at the best tardy, and at worst pretty much non-existent. Because after all, this guy could just run amok and no one stopped him. And also, there's a fairly decent chance if he goes free, he'll probably decide to go after Uriel or maybe whoever else he decides to hold a grudge against this time. So you could definitely, you could argue from practicality of let him die. But the thing is, it's a child doing it. Now that's a different thing. I mean, if you kill someone, that affects you. Even if that person is an absolute bastard. So that's probably more of the... That's probably more... And of course, there's the principled stand against the death penalty. And killing in general, there's obviously a reason. We just say, hey, don't do that. Anyway, if you do decide to stop her, there are many options. You could use elementalism, gating, illusion, or telekinesis, all at 60 plus, or fortification and shadow magic at 70 plus, or just rush forward and attempt to stop her. But now, I know on previous ones through, I've tried to stop her. I probably used several of the different powers over the times. If you scroll down a long, long way, you'll eventually find this playthrough with Zoop, and you'll be able to see here what I, well here can't see because it's audio format. Hear what I did then, but I've definitely tried to stop her. So to just see what happens, I'm going to not do that. Do nothing. With a single flick of a wrist, Uriel's fearsome telekinetic powers seal the fate of the man she holds responsible for her brother's death. The man's body, his arms flailing helplessly, guides across the ground at the base of the ravine. With a sharp, echoing crack, his head strikes the base of another rock. He does not move again. Uriel, still trembling, starts to sob as he slinks to her knees and buries her face in her hands. Without warning, a thick, swirling band of grey mist takes form just overhead and swiftly descends, rapidly enveloping you in a churning sea of dense fog. Did you really have to be so quick? Come on! She needs a hug right now! Just a few minutes. Come on, time. Give me time. Well, I guess whatever's happening in here is like, you've made your choice. Bugger off. A powerful, disorientating sensation washes over you. The sense of disorientation slowly starts to fade. And as it does, the mist that envelops you begins to lift. As the fog dissipates, you're startled to find your wary gaze settling itself upon a scene entirely different from the one that confronted you only moments ago. Where am I? Am I back in the chasm of time? Or am I in regular time? They're coming. The familiar voice of a tall, frail woman to your left echoes along the wide, gloomy stone corridor. As she leans forward and spits on the floor, she tightens her grip on the long wooden staff and exhales. The darkness of the passage, to make out a few details, save that a drooping hood covers her head, concealing her face in the shadow. And they're certainly expected. The low, soft, and somewhat familiar voice to your right startles you, and you turn to settle your gaze upon a tall, broad-shouldered man. His head and face also concealed by a large, dark hood. Clutched in his mailed hands is a black-bladed longsword. Are you ready? As the man turns in your direction, you suddenly realise he's speaking to you. Despite an overwhelming sense of confusion and bewilderment at the scenario now unfolding, you feel you are somehow known to the pair that flanks you, a trusted member of a trio waiting with bated breath for something to appear out of the shadows at the end of the passage. You nod in response. I'm not sure what I'm ready for, but as a general rule, if it's a thing, Sir Croakington is ready for it. And if it isn't a thing, Sir Croakington is ready for it. And if it is both half thing and not half not thing, Sir Croakington would be very confused, but probably still ready for it. But who are these people? And what are we ready for? We shall see. A sudden flash of fire from the end of the passage momentarily scatters the darkness, illuminating the full length of the gloomy corridor you're standing at one end of, and revealing, for a fleeting instant, the massive legion of armoured Tazarls swiftly slithering towards you. Tabitha, when we're through this lot, get to the throne and place the coin upon it! Hisses the man on the right, his gaze focused on the advancing snake men. Dare not let your eyes linger on it! Your heart pounds and your pulse quickens as you immediately realise the woman you're left is Tabitha, the deadliest and most devout of the Grand Century servants, and the sorceress who followed you into the chasm of time with the intention of trapping and slaying you beyond the bounds of your own reality. As you struggle to come to terms this astounding and perplexing turn of events, you try to determine which time and place you've been talking to. You're not talking to a fool, snaps Tabitha. The throne will not sit unguarded. Our friend here will come with me. You keep a watch on the passage, but let's not get quite so ahead of yourself. A shrill chorus of shrill hisses turns all your attentions back to the approaching Tazarl. Uncertain as to what lies ahead, and just what part you should play in whatever is to come, you step forward with your newfound, unlikely companions, and prepare to engage the slithering horde. Okay, one of them's Tabitha. So who's the other one? Who else am I with? I guess we shall see. But anyway, we've got some snakes to fight first. As the first of the silver armored Tazarl slithers into melee range, the blade of the scimitar clutched in his clawed hands bursts into flame. Alright, clawed hands, so they're not entirely human-like. In the middle of the corridor, pressed between the two unflinching and battle companions, you bravely engage the first of the reptilian swarm. It's an armored Tazarl. Begin combat. The vicious armored reptilian slashes you with his flaming scimitar. Keep going. You're engulfed by the flame through your enemy's attack. Because of course they do that. Apparently these chairs, I think they think the thrones are the ultimate villains behind this. Well, not ultimate, because obviously every chair has a chair maker. I mean, presumably. I don't want to make a watchmaker's argument here. Maybe they just happened. I don't know what the laws of physics are like here. Engulfed by the flames your enemies attack. But all the chairs that I have ever seen have had a chair maker. So that's probably a fairly safe assumption to make, is that the Thrones have a Thronia behind them. And whoever that Thronia is incredibly evil and incredibly powerful. And probably wants to, you know, destroy reality as I know it. You know, just to get me. Which is quite a dick move, really. And these chairs and the person behind it, they like fire. Slain. 39 XP. The next Azal immediately slithers forward, taking the place of its fallen Bevwyn. So 2 of 15. Alright, I'll just be quick combating these from now on. The 39 XP. The vicious reptilian foe hisses for the final time before slumping to the floor of the passage and at last succumbing to death. Alright, the next Azal slithers forward, taking the place of its fallen brethren. I think with all these dead Tazals around, it'll get a bit more difficult to navigate. Because, of course, Tazal are not just... they're long. So a dead Tazal takes up a lot more space than a dead human. But somewhat more, that's for sure. Especially if they're armoured, because that probably makes their torso a bit twice as big. Anyway, quick combat. 41 XP is number 4. I'm just rushing through these now. Number 5. Number 6. I went into a battle wage. God, getting kind of sick of all these snake men. Ah, why are you so vulnerable to being manipulated by ultimate evil? You should... improve your society somewhat so that doesn't happen. You know, I mean, well, you can't do that because you're dead, but still. Number 10. And so on. A bit of healing. Fortunately, I've got plenty of Neville Reserve. 13. Here's the penultimate. And the XP is slowly creeping up. That was 42 experience. The enchantments of Metal and Devastation helped in the previous battle. And more healing. You quickly swipe away, the sweat pouring down your brow, as you prepare to engage the last of the cruel reptilians. Well, last for now. Now, if there's one thing I've learned from this adventure is that there's always more Tazal. Quick combat. 42 experience. And then 1024 experience to general. Tazal Legion has been vanquished. The bloodied remains of the cruel reptilians. Lasting evidence of the violent but efficient handiwork of you and your hooded companions lie strewn across the passage. Okay. Since we didn't have them doing anything alongside me, presumably they were busy fighting their own snake men. We presumably did some sort of back-to-back badass thing. So we couldn't really be surrounded. So they could much had to face us one at a time. Because if they try to go from the side, they get stabbed by two people. Or something like that. I mean, good thing they didn't, you know, use those fire spurting things and just lay down a huge barrage from afar. But maybe it isn't safe where we are now. Or maybe where and when we are now, they don't have that. They just have their flaming swords instead. As you step over the armoured, unmoving body of your last foe, Timothra lies at your side and grabs hold of your arm. The robed sorceress, a head and face still concealed beneath her drooping hood, points with her staff towards the far end of the corridor. "Let's go," she cries, turning and motioning for your other companions to follow. The hooded man finishes wiping the braid of his longsword, his sleeve, and nods. Together, the three of you rush along the dark passage. Okay, who is this hooded man? Is it? Let's see. The Grand Sentry, Amelia Tuthir and Thane Mazibak. They're the group. So presumably, if we have Tamithra, we probably have at least one of the other three, and it's a man. So it's either the Grand Sentry or Thane Mazibak. Or who will become Thane Mazibak? Obviously, he's not Thane Mazibak now. He has to get to Tysa. He has to be appointed a Thane. And that's either deep in the future or deep in the past. Considering Tamithra isn't entirely evil, I'm going for past. Although maybe not directly in the past. It could be a diagonally in the past. Or maybe just sideways in time. It's complicated. Or maybe I'm just making it complicated. Anyway, there's me. You know, that's the person I'm most sure of who it is. And that's me. After less than 50 yards, the passage intersects with a wider corridor. On the opposite side of this new passage, the corridor along which you've been moving continues for over a dozen yards before ending a tall iron door. "You wait here," says Tamithra, turning to look at the hooded man. "The rest of them will soon know what happened. We don't need any surprises. Place the coin upon it and get out of here," he says, without acknowledging her directive. "Don't gaze up long upon the throne, and don't linger near it." "Our dearest little brother. Always so cautious." Okay, little brother. So, thinking the Grand Sentry. I have a notion the Grand Sentry is the oldest, but maybe not. Kind of forget. But yeah. It's definitely who will become Thane Mazibak and who will become the Grand Sentry in the future that is hopefully lost forever. "My dearest little brother, always so cautious," said the hooded sorceress, a hint of mirth in her voice, unlike anything you've heard in previous encounters. "We'll be back here before you know we're gone. Hold them for as long as you can." "Of course, my lady," he says, mockingly dropping into a bow. "Don't linger." As the hooded man steps back into the mouth of the passage, moving himself out of the intersection, you and Tamithra stride across the new corridor and up to the iron door. The weighty iron slab that fills the entirety of the corridor has no visible hinges or latch. As your eyes scour its tarnished surface, you're suddenly taken aback by the discovery of an image engraved on one of its thick panels. As Tamithra digs into a pouch hanging from a thin length of rope that encircles her waist, you step forward and examine the engraved image. The carving depicts seven small stars above an island that's rising out of the mist of a raging sea. You immediately recognise the engraving to be identical to those which adorn the Patterman Star coins you're carrying. Particular item may be of use here? I'm thinking it's those Platinum Star coins. And I've still got seven of them. And so, presumably, I get to use them seven times in this adventure. Well, up to that many. Maybe I've already got lucky and got past a situation where I need to use one. Or maybe I actually need all seven for the time travelling thing. Anyway, if I'm not supposed to use it, it won't do anything. Platinum Star Coin. 64 XP to General. You draw out one of the Platinum Star Coins and hold it up to the door. Almost at once, the small coin begins to glow, bathing your hands in and its face in its lurid silver luminescence. Suddenly, the sound of metal grinding on metal fills the passage, and you instinctively step back as a tall iron door shudders and then slowly rises, disappearing into a hidden pocket in the ceiling. Tabitha, clutching a coin identical to her, so maybe she could have used hers instead. But who knows? Apparently, time is not going to be affected by whether I do that or not, because I've already done things in here. Or maybe they expected me to pop in and just weren't surprised when I just suddenly appeared. Maybe I will tell them that I'll turn up. Or I already have. You know, wibbly wobbly timey-wimey. I didn't know you had one of those, she says, her voice trailing as she bursts into a violent fit of coughing. By the time the brief episode has subsided, there's nearly a 4-foot gap between the bottom of the door and the floor of the passage. Oh, it's going up. Oh, yeah, I just read that, but I wasn't paying attention. Without further delay, following the sorcerer's lead, you duck under the rising slab of iron and step into a small, dark chamber.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
For just a moment, you stand in silence, surrounded by darkness, just beyond the threshold of the chamber, behind the iron door, with a loud clang and a reverberating rumble that passes through the floor beneath your feet. The heavy slab of metal disappears completely into its hidden pocket overhead. It's here. A dot of yellow light appears at the end of Tumifra's staff and flares brightly, fully illuminating the small, circular chamber. Your eyes are instinctively drawn to the centre of the room, where a marred iron slab is set into the thick stone blocks that make up the floor. You're immediately reminded of an eerily similar discovery you made in the Jagged Hills region of Sangard Island. You clearly recall the discovery. You cautiously step through the open stone portal and into the circular chamber that once lay hidden behind it. Broad, smooth sheets of metal cover the curved walls of the room, rising to meet the plated iron ceiling nearly 20 feet overhead. A stone pedestal stands in the centre of the room, the wide flat top of which bears an engraving of Sangard Isle. Behind the pedestal, set into thick blocks of stone that make up the floor, is a marred iron slab. You're about to step forward and examine the pedestal, when suddenly the entire chamber shudders and a loud rumble fills the air. You stand back and watch in amazement as the heavy iron slab slides back into the floor, revealing a dark opening. Out of this opening, slowly and steadily, rises a large and ornate wooden throne. You cautiously examine the wooden throne and discover that it's made of ash wood. Elaborate iron inlayings decorate the arms and side of the grand chair and serve to give it a majestic, if somewhat sinister, appearance. thoughts suddenly turn to the present, and you find Tamriphra stooped down at the edge of the marred iron slab, her fingers running across its cold, pitted surface. As you reach her side, the entire chamber shudders, and a low rumble fills the air. You step back and watch as a heavy sheet of iron slides back into the floor, revealing a dark opening. Up through the opening, slowly and steadily, repeating the very scene you witnessed in another time and place, rises a large and ornate wooden throne. Tamriphra steps back and leans against her staff as the throne continues to rise through the floor. When the base of the grand chair is level with the stone blocks upon it, on which it will rest, the sound of grating metal fills the air. The rising throne slows to a halt. "Alda," she says. "The throne is of Alda. So here it is. At last. Ooh, here it is. The Alda throne. Like the Ashwood throne you previously encountered, the arms and side of this magnificent chair are adorned with elaborate iron inlays. Perhaps my brother should see this," she says, tapping the butt of her staff against the floor. Though you cannot see her face, it's obvious the gaze is fixed on the outer throne. "My dear friend, will you fetch my brother? She deserves to at last lay his eyes upon this before we destroy it." No. "This is a bad idea. You're spending too much time near this throne. Because this throne just radiates pure evil. Just destroy it as fast as you can before it takes your soul. And turns you into the hideous monster who I had to repeatedly fight in another time. And in another place. A very dark time and place." Suddenly, Tamriphra spins around and casts off her hood, revealing her youthful cloth-masked face. From just below her intense green eyes to the bottom of her chin, the young sorceress's face is concealed by a thin black cloth veil. Her lengthy, raven hair tumbles down across her slender shoulders in a tangle of matted locks. For a fleeting moment, her eyes reflect the yellow glow emanating from the tip of her staff. "Himalaya and Willifred White," she groans, slamming the butt of her staff into the floor. "Misguided and corrupt though they be, what arrogance have we displayed to ignore their wisdom? We would destroy this? We would rid ourselves of the only force that might undo our folly? Look, don't deal with these chairs. Whatever they offer you, it's not for you, it's for them. Well, for whoever's behind the chair. You will be a puppet. You cannot puppet them. Because you are the puppet and not the puppeteer. This seat, dear friend, is power beyond reckoning. We'll use it to set things right. All things. Forever." "Oh, no. No. Look, you looked upon the chair for too long. Now you're tempted. Surely you think what... I know you think that you're going to do good with this chair. But so many people have thought that. So many. And they never do. If you sit upon that chair, then you are enemy of all humanity. And all the goblins. And all of the Tarzal, even though they serve you. And everything else, even those owl people in Talonvale, you're the enemy of those as well. You're an enemy of time itself! Without warning, Tarith returns and steps towards the great chair. You immediately realise that the young sorceress has no intention of destroying the throne. She intends to take her place upon it. Inexplicably, you feel your destiny may some way be linked to the choice you're about to make. Okay, so. The four siblings in this timeline, at this point, the four siblings have heard of the chairs. The evil, evil chairs. That can also travel through time. Because. Yeah. Yes, the evil time. They've heard of the evil time traveling chairs. Amelia and Whiff have either sat upon the chairs already, and thus Wailiff has already become the Grand Sentry, or is well on the way to becoming such, and Humlea has already turned into a Witch of Cardzan. Even if she isn't quite known as that yet. And these other two people are Tamithra and the man who will become Fae Mazapak. I don't know if we learnt his actual name. Yes. And so they're trying to destroy the chairs. Possibly hoping maybe it will get their siblings back. Or maybe it will just be to stop them making even more of a mess. Or maybe just revenge. Revenge is a perfectly good reason to smash up some evil chairs. So, presumably, in the timeline that we've just come from, Tamithra sits upon the chair, gets her free bag of infinite tarsals, and becomes a Witch of Cardzan. Fae Mazapak, I don't know what happened, somehow, maybe he tries to destroy a chair, but doesn't really get across it, because Tamith was already fighting him. And anyway, things get messy, and he also gets hideously mutilated. Mutilated and has to wear the mask below, because his face is just, just this kind of face that you, if you look upon, you will go mad. Yes. But this time, we've managed to come in before Humelu has gone mad. Maybe we can stop that. Although, quite frankly, we're far too late in history. I mean, even with just Humelu and Werif, that's more than enough sorceresses' might behind them to send the future into a dark timeline. Maybe not quite as dark as the one I've just come from, but still pretty dark. We have to go back further to stop this before it even begins. But, nevertheless, I want at least this timeline to go slightly better. So do I stop her? Or no, obviously I stop her. Anyone who sits upon the thrones is clearly our enemy. So, let's stop her before she becomes our enemy. Attempt to stop her. Sensing it may prove disastrous if Tamithra sits upon the throne, you leap into action, determined to see that she does not. So we can attack Tamithra, or attempt to reach the throne before Tamithra. The thing is, if I attempt to reach the throne before her, I'm getting close to the throne, so that's just not a safe place to be, so I'm going to have to attack her. There are three other options, using illusion gating or telekinesis, but these are all at level 80 plus. If I checked the wiki in advance, I probably would have known that and leveled those up in advance, but I didn't, so got to attack her. You rush up behind Tamifra, determined to do whatever it takes to prevent her from reaching the throne. With only a few feet of the sorceress, when she suddenly spins to face you, her eyes blazing, the glowing tip of her staff smouldering. "You are always weak, my brother's kindred spirit," she hisses as the flames engulf the end of her staff. "Step back! I beg you not to force my hand!" "Look, my hand is forced, but I don't think it's you doing it." "Yes, a fateful decision. Inexplicably, you feel your destiny may in some way be linked to the choice you're about to make. So I can engage Tamifra or heed her words and step back." "Okay. Now, the thing is, if I step back, she will sit upon the throne. That's just how it will go. Because the throne has got its little arm rests into her, or something like that. And now she must sit on it. And the only way I can stop her from sitting at it is to knock her out and then destroy it. And hopefully there'll be enough left of her after this that maybe she can carry on. Engage Tamifra." Arcs of crimson flame leap from the end of Tamifra's staff as the sorceress moves to meet your attack. Despite having engaged you, you sense the mass sorceress does not desire your death. Begin combat. "Oh dear. But I did that. There's no way to even fight non-lethally. Oh, dear bugger." Sabifra swipes you with a flaming golf staff. Sort of hope there'll be a way to subdue her, but especially since she's not going lethally, I should be able to go non-lethally. But, well, golf by the flames of enemy's attack. Keep going. Golf by the flames of enemy's attack for 22 damage. Okay, I can flee. You fled from the combat. You fall back beyond the range of the sorceress's deadly blows. Tamifra, her staff ablaze, seems content to ignore you. She promptly turns towards the throne. Okay, I'm going to quickly heal myself. Okay, that didn't work. A deep sense of ruin and utter despair well up from within you as you watch Tamifra lower herself onto the Iron Throne. I kind of hoped I'd beaten her enough to slow her down so I could just yeet her somewhere far enough away, plonk the coin back on the throne, and everything could be all right, but apparently not. She's got the vigor of madness. She doesn't slow down when she gets hurt because the vigor of madness. So she just keeps going, even though she's got barely any health left. Also, it's a video game, and that's just how things work. Because it'd be kind of annoying if as your health went down, all your other stats get down, because you'd quickly find yourself in a death spiral, which would just be really annoying. I think there's probably some games that have done that, but I think generally games just ignore that. Her eyes close and her staff drops to the floor as her hands grip the ornate ends of her grand chair's broad arms. If only I had telekinesis at 80 plus, I could have stopped this. Suddenly, a bright white light envelops both the throne and its masked occupant. Tamitha's body becomes rigid and her hands clamp down tighter on the arms of the throne. For a moment, he forces shield your eyes and turn away from the blinding spectacle. Seconds later, when you look back to the centre of the chamber, shocked to find no sign of the throne or the sorceress. I guess they've popped somewhere in time and space, where presumably she's undergoing some rapid evilification training. The dark opening through which the great chair rose is once again covered by the marred iron slab. A desperate cry from the passage outside interrupts your racing thoughts. They're coming. Get out of here. Do not linger in there. Preparing to confront whatever has prompted the cry, you charge out into the corridor. You find the hooded swordsman standing in the middle of the intersecting passages, facing the far end of the wider corridor. For his stance is relaxed, you sense he is uneasy about something. As you approach, he turns to face you and immediately inquires about Tamitha. She is lost then, he says coldly, as you quickly relate to him what happened in the throne chamber. Did you place a coin on the throne? No, I completely messed up. The unknown companion curses and hangs his head. You're at last defeated, he cries, raising his head to look down at the passage. Both my sisters will be at my brother's side, as you well know, and they are coming. So sorry. I completely messed up. I thought I could subdue her, but there wasn't the option. Now even her soul is dead. A violent tremor shakes the passage as the hooded swordsman steps back to stand at your side as you both fix your gazes along the broad corridor. There, emerging from the wall of gloom that obscures the end of the passage, is an all too familiar sight, stomping into view, with every footfall shaking the floor beneath your feet. Are three massive stone and iron constructs. It's them. Well, time to smash them, I guess. There are more behind them. There must be a dozen of them, shouts the hooded man, raising his black-bladed sword and drawing himself into combat-ready stance. If this is what it's come to, I'm more than willing to face defeat at your side, old friend. By the All Father, this isn't what we're supposed to be. I screwed up. Although, admittedly, this wasn't part of the initial mission, so I kind of screwed up a bonus mission. So things can still be saved. Suddenly, the advancing constructs halt. A short, frail, chain-clad young man. His slender face concealed behind a black cloth mask, similar to the one worn by Tamitha, steps into view. He strides within 10 yards of your position and stops. And again, you find yourself alone, he says, addressing the hooded swordsman at your side, with a thin but unwavering voice. The last of your protectors has abandoned you. Though I see you retain at least one ally. Whether impotent, a true friend who will first witness and then share your demise. Unless they can convince you that this has gone on long enough. Okay, who are they? Your pulse races. As two masked women step into view from behind the foremost of the towering construct and stride forward to flank the frail, chain-clad man. You immediately recognise both Temifra and Himalaya. It's Temifra who speaks. And the first semi-muffled words to escape from her concealed lips shock you to the core. Mazumbak, you've heard Werith. And now you need to listen to me. Yep, it's Mazumbak. He's not a Thane yet. But I'm guessing with how I've messed up this timeline, he's going to be. Because apparently, I'm not sure what his scheme was becoming Thane Mazumbak, but presumably he heard that there's one of those thrones there, and maybe all he wants to do is burn it to the ground. It might not be any help at all, but they deserve that. And who knows what, and maybe it'll do good. Maybe there's only one throne. It just jumps up backwards and forwards in time. So maybe destroying one might destroy the one that ruins him. Who knows? But nevertheless, the thrones must burn. Anyway, this brings us to the end of this scenario. With 3,072 experience to general and 256 experience to all skills and powers. Whew. Well, I get that. I'm not sure if it's good or... No, it's definitely bad that Temifra is still alive. Because there are far worse things than dying. And turning pure evil is one of them. For sure. Anyway, that's that. Next up is The Chasm of Time Part 4. Four Against the World. Okay, I mean, my only real hope to salvage this is the original mission. Go back. Stop Werith and thus the rest of them. Finding the coded journals, discovering the thrones, sitting upon the thrones, getting most of their faces burned or something. Most of their faces hideously mutilated, putting on the masks. Werith becoming the Grand Sentry, Himalaya and Temifra becoming the Witches of Cardzan, Thane Mazumbak having to run far, far away, all the way to Tysa, and presumably just living a regular life, and then when he becomes the Thane of the East, realizing, oh, maybe I can actually do something. And then somehow arranging things, so he goes to Sarngard Island and then doing something there. Not quite sure what his plan is, and hopefully we'll never know because it's become completely irrelevant. Anyway, next time we'll be finding out what happens next. But until then, farewell, fellow adventurous.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.